Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It feels like I haven't said those words in a while. Yeah, I'm L. Martin, the man behind the mic, coming to you live here in Studio S. Fresh off of a vacay where I spent last week out in NYC, New York City. I love that city. I love that city. You know, it depends on your personality because I know some who are like, New York, oh, it's too many people. The traffic is awful. I can't get around. You got to plan 30 minutes in advance if you want to go somewhere, which it really isn't true because public transit is awesome in New York. But, you know, there are some people that say that. Then you have the other group who says, I love New York. I love the energy. I love the people out there. It's so inspiring. I fall in that category. New York City is awesome, but I must say, I missed you all. I really, really did. And before I push forward here, I want to give a big shout out to our incredible crew here at WKAR's Current Sports. Three of our production assistants who held it down last week, Jack Kerwin, Connor Mathis, and Alec Rio. I want to give mad props to those three gents who did an awesome job considering it was one uncharacteristically busy week in the summer sports world. I props to them because, you know, I've of course, when I go on vacay and take my summer vacay hours, you know, we have PAs in the past who have filled in, but I don't think we've ever had a moment where, you know, the first week where I kind of, you know, pass the mic to the PAs and let them do their thing while I'm gone. I don't think we've ever had a week quite as busy as last week. So much went down. And you know, I caught myself a few times while out in New York, you know, kind of looking at my phone at some of the sporting news. The big sporting news was kind of unfolding over the days. And I said to myself, my goodness, just where's a mic at? I need a mic. Anybody got a mic? I wanted to just go live right then and there and sound off on the whole LeBron James and him, you know, putting a school together. And then Donald Trump firing at LeBron James for just a reason I just don't understand. President Trump. I'll get to that in a moment. But also the big, big news coming out of the world of college football that has direct implications to how the Big Ten East will shake out this upcoming year. The Urban Meyer situation out in Columbus, Ohio, paid administrative leave due to how he handled or possibly mishandled the situation with Zach Smith, his now former assistant coach. I'll get to that. I'm actually going to lead with that. You'll get my thoughts on that story. Also, today is Michigan State Football Media Day, which will take place literally as soon as I get off the air at 2 p.m. At 2 o'clock, Mark D'Antonio will address the media at Spartan Stadium. He'll be talking for 30 minutes, as he usually does for Media Day. So from 2 to 2:30, Mark D'Antonio will talk. And then from 2:30 to 3:15, roundtable interviews starting with the Michigan State defense will take place. And why not? I'll give you the personnel of who will be available during that period right now. So for the defense, you will have defensive coordinator and linebackers coach Mike Tressel speaking. Defensive end coach Chuck Bulla. Defensive tackles coach Ron Burton, secondary and special teams coordinator Paul Haynes, and assistant defensive backs coach Don Treadwell. When it comes to the players on the defensive side of the football, linebacker Joe Bocci will speak, linebacker Byron Bulla, linebacker Andrew Dow, safety David Dow, punter Jake Hartbarger, cornerback Justin Lane, linebacker Grayson Miller, safety Matt Morrissey, defensive tackle Mike Panishuk, cornerback Josiah Scott, defensive end Kenny Willekes, defensive tackle Raekwon Williams, and safety Kari Willis. And then I'm not a big fan, logistic-wise, for what we do in the media, I should say, when it comes to how there's this big gap in between the defense speaking and the offense speaking. But, again, the defense will wrap up at 3:15. And then from 4:30 to 5:15, the offense will speak. And to give you the names of the offensive personnel that will speak, when it comes to the coaches, co-offensive coordinator and running backs coach Dave Warner will speak. Co-offensive coordinator and tight ends coach Jim Bowman will talk. Wide receivers coach Terrence Samuel will speak. Quarterbacks coach Brad Salem and assistant head coach / offensive line coach Mark Staten will all speak to the media. And then the selected student athletes that will be available are offensive guard David Beadle, offensive tackle Luke Campbell, offensive tackle Cole Chewins, wide receiver Felton Davis III, running back Connor Hayward, offensive guard Tyler Higbee, of course, quarterback Brian Lewerke, running back LJ Scott, tight end Matt Sokol, wide receiver Daryl Stewart, and wide receiver Cody White. I love how you do it because, again, they'll just be at these tables with a nameplate, and then we can just kind of go up as media members and get a one-on-one interaction with these players. It is awesome because you really get to get to know these players in a relaxed atmosphere, not real formal. They're not all at a podium. They're just sitting there at a table, at a desk, you know, or a table, whatever you want to call it, sitting on a chair, and you just go up to them and talk to them. It should be awesome. I will have a report, a two-minute drill report for you all from Michigan State Football Media Day later on this evening, so keep it locked to WKAR.org as well as our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And this should be an interesting hour because, again, I got a lot to get off my chest. We'll talk Urban Meyer. I'll also sound off on what I saw from Canton, Ohio, and also Chattanooga, Tennessee, when it comes to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Oh, Terrell Owens. Yeah, I'll get to T.O. That and so much more while, of course, inviting you all, beautiful people, to be a part of the 60 Minutes. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is up and running there. Comment below that video, and you can tweet us. Two ways in which you can join the conversation via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, we start with this story. An unidentified man tried to do some redecorating to Comerica Park in Detroit. The incident occurred this morning, a little after 2 a.m., 2:25 a.m. to be exact. The suspect smashed windows and the glass door at the D Shop near the corner of Witherell and Montcalm. At least four pieces of glass were damaged. Police say the suspect used a sledgehammer to smash the doors, and he ran away afterwards. So there you have that. they haven't caught the man. Again, he's unidentified right now, but he decided to do some redecorating to Comerica Park. Hopefully that gets handled and fixed rather quickly. And the Detroit Tigers, of course, that's the home of the Detroit Tigers, Comerica Park. The Tigers, though, had a bad weekend on the road. Trevor Cahill struck out 10 in six innings. Chris Davis and Matt Chapman both homered for the second consecutive game in the Oakland Athletics beat the Tigers 6-0 yesterday to complete. a season sweep. Matt Olson also homered, and Ramon Laureano added three hits and an RBI to help the streaking A's win their sixth straight. Oakland won all seven games against Detroit this season and has a franchise record 12 consecutive victories over the Tigers. The A's blanked the Tigers on Friday night and allowed only an unearned run on Saturday. It's the first time in Oakland history that the team did not give up an earned run in a series of three or more games. Cahill, he was masterful in one of his most dominant outings this season. The righty walked one, yielded three hits while pitching through traffic much of the afternoon. This season is, as we expected, a pretty bad one for the Detroit Tigers. All right, the Detroit Lions have signed wide receiver Brian Brown and waived wide receiver Dom Williams. Now, Brown, who played college football at Richmond, entered the NFL with Dallas last year as an undrafted free agent. He spent time in the practice squad for the Cowboys. Brown was chosen as a second-team FCS All-American by the Associated Press in 2016. All right, college game day news, folks. To celebrate 25 years on the road, ESPN returns to South Bend for the 2018 college football season's first edition of College Game Day, slated to take place on September 1st. That's when the number 11 Fighting Irish, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, would take on the number 14 Michigan Wolverines. That game is a night game scheduled for 7:30 p.m., which you can check out on NBC. I'm looking forward to that game. ESPN made the announcement via the College Game Day Twitter account, saying, quote, "We are going back to where it all began. South Bend, we're coming to your city, Michigan, Notre Dame. See you September 1st. All right, Quintel Kent, a three-star receiver from St. Edward's High in Lakewood, Ohio, announced his commitment to Jim Harbaugh and Michigan on Saturday. He's a 6-foot, 170-pounder. He ranks as the number one. 1,103 prospect via 247 Sports. Again, it's Monday, folks. He does not have a 247 Sports composite ranking. But again, Quintel Kent from St. Edward's High in Lakewood, Ohio, committing to Jim Harbaugh's squad. And Cole Bajema, 6'7" guard from Washington, he announced his verbal commitment to the Wolverines on Saturday afternoon. The commitment ends a whirlwind few months for Bajema. Despite being unranked by recruiting sites, he started receiving offers from the likes of Washington and Virginia after a strong AAU season. So Bajema will be taking his talents to John Beilein's U of M men's basketball program. He is now the second Michigan commit of the 2019 men's basketball class. He joins another perimeter player, four-star Jalen Wilson of Texas, in the class. And it's been a slow start for the Michigan State Spartans for the 2019 men's basketball recruiting front. Michigan State currently has zero commits, which is a bit strange compared to this time last year when the program had already secured four commits, with a fifth coming in early September. But that could be changing soon. Four-star forward, small forward, Terry Armstrong has narrowed his list to 10 schools, and that does include Michigan State. He announced his finalist over the weekend. The other schools in the running to land Terry Armstrong are Xavier, Oregon, Mississippi State, LSU, Arizona, Arizona State, New Mexico, Florida State, and Oklahoma. Now, he has yet to officially visit any school, but has made unofficial visits to Arizona, Arizona State, and Xavier. Tom Izzo and Michigan State will look to get Armstrong to East Lansing very, very soon. Ohio State released a statement on Sunday night announcing the formation of an independent working group to conduct their investigation into Urban Meyer. Now, the group is expected to complete their investigation within 14 days. Now, the six-person independent working group leading the investigation into Meyer was formed by the university's Board of Trustees. Current members of the Ohio State University Board of Trustees, Alex Fisher, Janet Porter, and Alex Shoemate, are on the board alongside former Ohio House Speaker Joanne Davidson, former acting U.S. Deputy Attorney General Craig Morford, and former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Ohio, Carter Stewart. The investigation centers around the extent to which head coach Urban Meyer satisfied legal and ethical obligations as it pertained to the allegations of domestic violence against former assistant coach Zach Smith. More on that in just a moment. And real quick, this past weekend, the NFL welcomed 8 new members to the Hall of Fame. Linebacker Robert Brazilli, safety Brian Dawkins, guard Jerry Kramer, the MLB's, middle linebacker Ray Lewis, middle linebacker Brian Urlacher, and wide receiver Randy Moss, and wide receiver Terrell Owens, who was not present in Canton, Ohio. He decided to have a separate Hall of Fame ceremony at in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And also, don't want to forget GM Bobby Bethard as well. Now, Dawkins, the former Philadelphia Eagles and Denver Broncos safety, delivered a powerful message about his battle with depression on Saturday night at the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Canton, Ohio. Quote, "There's hope. There is something on the other side of this," he told the crowd during his 22-minute speech. "Don't get caught up where you are. Don't stay where you are. Keep moving. Keep pushing through," end quote. Now, meanwhile, over 500 miles away, T.O. delivered an emotional 40-minute speech at his former college, the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, during which he reiterated why he skipped this weekend's Hall of Fame ceremonies. Quote, "There's been a lot of speculation and false reports as to why I chose not to be there. I would like to set the record straight. It's not because how many times it took me to be voted into the hall. It's about the mere fact that the sports writers are not in alignment with the mission and the core values of the Hall of Fame," end quote. So, according to Pro Football Talk, the Hall of Fame, in wake of the T.O. fiasco, is now considering a mandatory attendance rule. I have more on that later on this hour as well. And Justin Thomas didn't bring his A game on Sunday in the 2018 and final WGC Bridgestone Invitational, but his game was more than good enough to run away with the tournament title on Firestone Country Club's famed South Course. Now, to use a well-known golf term, Thomas, the defending PGA champion, he grinded his way to the final round of 69, which propelled him to a four-shot dub over Kyle Stanley. Thomas was the only golfer to break par in all four rounds. He shot 65, 64, 67, and 69, and finished 15 under, shooting a overall 265. Now, the victory was his third of the season, joining Bubba Watson and Dustin Johnson as three-time tour winners. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving.
All I know is I've never hit my wife. I've never hit her. I've never beat her. Nothing. Now, we had a toxic relationship, and I am at fault as much as she is in everything, because I did the things I shouldn't have done. I was not a good husband. I was not I wasn't great in this, but I never committed domestic violence, and I never hit her.
There was a photo, too, where her hand was bleeding.
Yep.
Did that happen because of you?
I don't know if you'd say it's because of me. She was in a fit about I don't know what. She grabbed a can of tobacco that I had, and she went to pour it on me. And when I put my hand up to stop her from pouring it on me, I closed the can, and it sliced her hand. And anybody that has ever seen a can of tobacco, those metal cans are sharp. It was nothing. I was actually asleep when she came to do this, and kind of woke up and just grabbed the can of dip to try to not have it happen. And here we are.
What was your reaction when she saw you had injured her?
I freaked out, and I was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I helped her. We went, and I helped her, like, wash it off and get Band-Aids. Like, I was terrified because I was like, oh my God, I just cut you. I didn't mean to do that.
Do you think the instances where bruises showed up on her body and she was bleeding, did you do something wrong in those cases?
I think I did. Absolutely, I did something wrong every time. I pushed her buttons a lot. I knew how to get her going. And like I said, it was a toxic relationship. Both of us did several wrong things. All I'm trying to put out is that there was never an illegal act or violence. Domestic violence on my behalf. Now, I did so many things wrong, and I caused a lot of those situations. But that's two separate discussions.
Yes, it's an ever-evolving story. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. If you are just now joining us, I am your host, Al Martin, back from a mini-vacay, an unplanned vacay, I must say. I was out in NYC for a week, and now I'm back at it behind the mic. I really hope you guys have been well. Glad to be back. Glad to be back in this chair. And again, much props to our fantastic production assistant crew of Jack Kerwin, Connor Mathis, and Alec Rio, who held it down last week in what was a really busy week. A really, really busy week in the world of sports. And the biggest story that you all care about is, again, an ever-evolving story involving current Ohio State football head coach Urban Meyer and how he handled or mishandled domestic abuse allegations with now former assistant coach Zach Smith, who you just heard sitting down with Dan Murphy. Zach Smith decided to do an interview with ESPN's Dan Murphy where he wanted to clear his name and clear the air as to what happened with him and his now former wife. And I'm gonna go through first off because in a story this sensitive, and this is why I have to give again major props to my crew here at Current Sports because they handled it the way you're supposed to handle it. You know, don't immediately jump to conclusions when you hear of a story that deals with so much sensitivity on various ends here, from a moral and ethical standpoint. I've learned, especially this past year, dealing with what we've had to deal with here at Michigan State University, to kind of hit the pause button, announce the facts, kind of let things digest, and then begin to form an opinion. And now I've had the luxury of you know, a few days here of really letting the facts digest so that I can form my opinion in attacking this story. You just heard, again, Zach Smith, his ex-wife, Courtney Smith. You heard just a small snippet there, about 2 minutes of a total 9-minute chat with Dan Murphy of ESPN, where Zach talks about the toxic relationship that it was during his time married with his wife, Courtney. You heard him detail a moment where they got into some kind of argument. Zach says that he was sleeping at the time. Courtney decides to crack open a can of tobacco and throw it on him. He raises his hand to stop it. She gets cut. He reacts like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And he goes on to also say, I think this is important here, that, you know, I think it's important that again, with all the controversy surrounding around Urban Meyer here, the real jerk in this situation, if he's found guilty of anything. And again, we got to see how this investigation plays out, because I would like to know why there were no charges pressed on Zach Smith during this whole time. And again, we've heard Courtney's side. We've seen pictures. We've heard her detail some things that happened. And again, we heard Zach Smith saying this sit down with Dan Murphy, that I was not a great husband. And sometimes I would push the buttons of Courtney Smith. Sometimes I would try to get under her skin. I was not perfect. There were a total of eight times where we would get into it. I would try and remove myself from the situation in a very defensive standpoint, go to my car, drive to campus, and sleep on the couch at work. 8 times this happened. Urban Meyer issued a statement on Friday, late Friday, I might add, that, again, attacks things from his perspective, saying that he, quote, failed when he denied knowing about domestic violence allegations against Zach Smith. Meyer issued the statement while Smith was giving an interview to ESPN. The timing's important there as well, I believe. Meyer said at Big Ten Media Days, when he was asked by Brett McMurphy, who, give a lot of credit to Brett, he's the one who broke this story. When Brett asked Urban Meyer at Big Ten Media Days about the allegations of domestic violence in regards to Zach Smith, Urban Meyer, he answered real quick. He was very defiant. And he even bit back at Brett a little bit, saying, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, basically saying, you really want to ask that right now? And we're trying to talk about football here. You know, we're on the verge of the college football season. And you ask that? That's basically the tone that I got from listening to Urban Meyer when Brett kind of posted him up on this topic. Meyer said in Chicago during Big Ten Media Days that he knew nothing. He knew nothing about a 2015 complaint or any other domestic issues that Smith had during the 6 years Meyer and Smith worked together at Ohio State. And again, Courtney Smith, Zach's ex-wife, said she had shared text with Meyer's wife, Shelley, detailing years of domestic violence. Courtney Smith said she was not sure whether Urban Meyer knew about the allegations. Now, again, sports talk radio, you know, I'm paid to give my opinion here each and every weekday at 1 o'clock here. I find it hard to believe that because it's a marriage. I'm not married. Hopefully one day I'm not married, but I know the relationship that, you know, my Auntie Vine and Uncle Eddie have. I knew the relationship that my Grandma Marion and Grandfather Ed had. Heck, I knew the relationship that before they got divorced, my parents had. And they told each other everything. So I find it hard to believe that when Courtney Smith allegedly went to Shelley and said, my husband's beating me, I find it hard to believe that Shelley didn't tell Urban this news. Urban Meyer admitted that he did not handle the situation correctly during Big Ten Media Day, saying that his job is to be, quote, clear, compassionate, and most of all, completely accurate. He goes on to say, quote, unfortunately, at Big Ten Media Days on July 24th, I failed on many of these fronts. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. However, I was not adequately prepared to discuss these sensitive personal issues with the media. And I apologize for the way I handled those questions. So when I read that quote, folks, you know what I hear Urban Meyer say? I lied to you all. I'm sorry, media members. I'm sorry, public. I lied when I was not really prepared to answer the question from Brett McMurphy in regards to domestic violence and not my now former assistant coach, Zach Smith. I just noted how I like to let things digest, right? You know, we've dealt with many sensitive stories here in East Lansing at Michigan State University in the past year and some change. I've learned to kind of let things digest, you know, and then evaluate what we know and go from there. I do think that when reading Urban Meyer's statement that came out late Friday night and reading that quote in particular, Urban is admitting that he lied. And I'm not buying this whole dialogue that I was not prepared. Urban Meyer, you are highly regarded and highly touted for knowing everything that is going on within your program. Every time I hear people talk about Urban Meyer, I never forget the HBO Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel piece that aired about two or so years ago. Andrea Kramer, love her, one of my favorite journalists. Andrea Kramer did the piece. You know, she got this behind-the-scenes look into the personality of Urban Meyer in detail when he had, like, the heart situation, right? And she's in Urban Meyer's home. And you hear people talk about Urban Meyer, who's had so much success wherever he has gone, from Utah and then to Florida, then to Ohio State. And when you hear people who have worked for Urban Meyer talk, they always talk about how Urban is so prepared, one, and how he knows everything that is going on within his programs, with everything that's going on with his players. He's a stickler for that kind of stuff. So I find it hard to believe that he didn't know about something that was taking place with his assistant coach, Zach Smith. And Zach says in the 9-minute piece, yeah, I went to Urban Meyer and said, hey, you know, this is going on. It's not true. But this is what Courtney is saying. I did to her. And Zach tries to have Urban's back, and he goes on to say, you know, that Urban said, okay, well, if you're found to be doing anything of that nature, you're going to be let go. You're going to be fired. But there's a lot of gray area when it comes to this. Now, at the end of the day, this is what I want to clear up. When looking at the situation and the big question whether Urban Meyer should lose his job or not, this is what I want to clear up here. This is not a question as to whether, when it comes to Urban losing his job, this is not a question as to whether or not Urban Meyer should have let go and fired Zach Smith upon initially hearing about some sort of domestic violence. That's not the question here. You know, Urban Meyer is not an investigative reporter. Urban Meyer is not the police. However, Urban Meyer, and it's the same conversation that we had here at Michigan State University when ESPN came out with the reports of Travis Walton and Tom Izzo and, you know, the Michigan State football arrest and Mark D'Antonio. The question here is whether or not Urban Meyer followed protocol in regards to a head coach hearing of domestic violence or hearing of sexual abuse as it pertains to one of his players or assistant coaches. Did you follow protocol, Urban? Did you relay these concerns up the proper food chain of authority at Ohio State University? That is the make or break for Urban Meyer here. We found that, and again, we have not heard, unless ESPN has a story up its sleeve right now, we have not heard anything here at Michigan State University of Mark D'Antonio not doing that. And Mark D'Antonio, if you remember, he was very defiant when he came to and stood at that podium when that story came out that day. He said, look, I follow protocol. You know, I went to the Title IX office. If you find otherwise, come at me. He basically said, come at me, bro. That's basically what he was telling those at ESPN and those investigating that story. So if Urban followed protocol here, that is the key here in this investigation. At the end of the day, you know, if I had to guess what's going to happen here, I don't believe that Urban Meyer is going to lose his job. That's just my gut reaction to this story. Heck, I read a story this morning that some of the fan base in Columbus, Ohio is actually planning a rally for Urban Meyer to keep his job. Now, I say that while also saying this. This is the same university that fired Jim Tressel. This is the same university that fired Woody Hayes. So I wouldn't be surprised if they let him go. Well, I'll tell you what, I would be. I would be, because if you look at the state of the program right now, you know, Ohio State, right in the thick of things and right in the conversation of competing for a national championship. Right now, the university is looking at this is saying, okay, Urban Meyer is the face of this university, and he's having so much success. We don't want to let him go. So, at the end of the day, I don't think, and again, this I think that Ohio State is making the mistake here with the story that broke today. Yeah, within 14 days, we'll have all of this figured out. Our investigation will be complete, and we can relay the findings to you all and go from there. When you are dealing with something this sensitive, you don't put a timetable on it, especially one of just 2 weeks. And heck, you could, in the span of 14 days, possibly conduct a thorough investigation, cross all of your T's and dot your I's. But the mere fact that you came out and said, yeah, it's going to take us about 14 days, that is not good from an optic standpoint. You don't put a timetable on an investigation that is this sensitive. So I think Ohio State is making a mistake there. Even if you do complete a thorough investigation and find out everything that you need to find out within those 14 days, you still came out and said it's only going to take us 2 weeks. That's a mistake that Ohio State is making. This is a very sensitive story. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But again, at the end of the day, I have two concrete problems. It's the timeline of 14 days here. And number two, it's the fact that Urban Meyer blatantly lied to the public. Came out and vehemently denied that he knew nothing about a 2015 complaint or any other domestic issue that Zach Smith had during the 6 years that the two worked together. You lied, Urban. And if you go back and listen to the response, you know, and again, I was not prepared, please. That response you gave wasn't a let me pause and think about it response. That was a quick, nope, I didn't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Why would you even ask me that question? That's the kind of vibe I got from that. Especially coming from a man who, again, you train your players how to deal with questions and how to deal with interviews in the media. Caught off guard? You weren't caught off guard, Urban. At the end of the day, you were hoping in that moment when that question was asked to you, you were banking on that situation with Zach Smith being locked and sealed and the key being thrown away somewhere and hoping that and basically in your mind saying that, yeah, there's no way that the media is going to dig this up and create a big thing of this. That's what you were hoping in that moment. Well, that was the wrong bet, buddy. And it may. I don't think it will, but it may cost you your job. And if it does, oh boy, you talk about the ripple effect this is going to have in the Big Ten East.
Service in Grand Rapids has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for southern Eden County in south central Michigan until 2:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 1:36 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm was located near Bellevue, Oregon, 11 miles northwest of Marshall, moving east at 25 miles per hour. Hazard.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just heard my thoughts on the Urban Meyer controversy out in Columbus, Ohio. Urban Meyer on paid administrative leave for how he handled or allegedly mishandled the Zach Smith domestic violence allegations from 2009 and 2015. after Zach Smith's interview with Dan Murphy on ESPN, Brett McMurphy of ESPN tweeted out an interesting screenshot. This is what the tweet says. Again, coming from Brett McMurphy's Twitter account. You can follow Brett at Brett_McMurphy. Quote, Zach Smith told at 1057 The Zone, he never abused Courtney. Here is text messages between Zach and Courtney when he admits and apologizes for strangling his wife on a Punta Cana trip in March of 2015 and again in April. So then you have the screenshot below that tweet. And this is what the screenshot is of. It's just, again, a Twitter exchange on an iPhone between Zach and Courtney. This is what Courtney sends out to Zach. Quote, think about the past. Think back to the cheating, the lies, and picking me up by my neck, strangling me in Punta Cana and at our place in April. The abuse got worse because you couldn't stand me catching you in your lies. Zach then responds, quote, I know, with 6 exclamation marks. And Courtney responds to the I know text saying, quote, now you continue your lies. And then Zach responds, quote, I'm so, so sorry. Then the thread finishes with Courtney saying, quote, such a slap in my face. Just stay away. Troubling stuff. Let's not forget here who, again, if he's found guilty here. And again, this looks like an admittance of something here. If this screenshot is accurate, let's not forget who the biggest scumbag out of all of this needs to be painted. That being Zach Smith. Who, for those who watched the interview, Zach Smith sounds a bit guilty to me. His body language, he stutters like yeah, like that. He's talking like, you know, real stuttery when he's talking. I don't know. He came off as very unsympathetic to me in that whole interview. Let's go to our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/WKAR News. Getting a lot of reaction there. Ben says, Urban Meyer needs to be fired. He did not report the abuse to the Title IX office, and he lied to the media at Big Ten Media Days, and then he turned around and told the media that he did not know about the abuse and was going on involving now his former assistant coach, Zach Smith. Then he was charged with abusing his players. That's what Ben says. Now, again, Ben, again, we got to let this play out. We'll know, and again, according to Ohio State, we'll know within 14 days whether or not Urban Meyer followed protocol here and did report or did not report these allegations to the Title IX office. And I agree with you here, though. You say he lied to the media at Big Ten Media Days. Yeah, Urban Meyer blatantly lied. Blatantly lied. I mean, just a stone cold faced. I mean, no ums or ahs. You have the direct quote, I think, Jack, especially when he went back at Brett. After Brett asked a question and Urban denies knowing of anything, what did Urban say?
You're talking about at Media Day?
At Media Day.
I don't know who creates a story like that. I think we got the bite if you want it.
We do. We have that. Do we have it queued up? I would love to play that bite if we do have it ready. This is from Big Ten Media Days. Is this starting where Brett asked a question or just it goes right into Urban's response? What are we hearing here, Jack?
So it was a gentleman, I think, writing for Cleveland.com. I believe it was Bill Landis, who asked him why he kept Smith on staff following 2009 and 2015. And he kind of addressed both of them quickly. And regarding 2015, he said, I don't know who creates a story like that.
Okay, let's listen to it.
Well, I am going to address the 2009 because I've been asked about that. 2009, Zach was an intern, a very young couple, as I do any time that I imagine most coaches or people in leadership positions, you receive a phone call. First thing you do is tell your boss, let the experts do their jobs. We're certainly not going to investigate. It came back to me that what was reported wasn't actually what happened. And so Shelly and I actually both got involved because of our relationship with that family, and advised for counseling and wanted to help as we move forward. 2015, I got a text late last night that something happened in 2015, and there was nothing. Unless, once again, there's nothing. You know, once again, I don't know who creates a story like that. And then this recent one was, you know, you press pause. It's something our team lives by, E plus R equals O. You get an event, you press pause, get your mind right and step up. Press pause to gather information, get your mind right to gather energy, and then step up to do the right thing. That's the position that I hold, and that's why we did that.
Again, Urban Meyer, that was actually after news came out that Ohio State was firing Zach Smith. And Bill Landis, right, Jack, from Cleveland?
Cleveland.com, yes, sir.
Cleveland.com, asking, well, following up with Urban about the whole situation and the history that he had with Zach Smith. So so you hear my thoughts. Now we know it's going to take 14 days. I want to get thoughts now. You guys heard my thoughts in the first segment here. I want to get thoughts from Jack, Connor, and Alec now. Jack, your reaction to the new developments and anything I had to say concerning this whole fiasco.
Yeah, sure, man. You know what? When the interview with Smith from ESPN broke on, I believe it was Friday night, I was trying to keep an open mind, just, you know, kind of let all the facts present itself and let Smith present his case. And right after that interview basically was posted, Brett McMurphy posted these text messages from a couple of years ago. And, man, that's damning information for me.
It really is. And Courtney, she has talked to the media on national TV and given her side of things. And I know pictures have come out. It looks really, really bad. And I think there's also, you know, I know Connor and Alec, I believe you guys debated this along with Ian Hawley. And also big shout out to Ian Hawley, who was also in last week. Much thanks to Ian, who stuck around for another week to help the PAs man the ship last week. But Ian, Alec, and Connor, I know you guys are talking about Mark D'Antonio, who was asked about this last week. Of course, Mark D'Antonio has his foundational footsteps in the world of coaching, stemming from Ohio, right? You know, at Cincy and Ohio State, and he worked alongside, you know, Jim Tressel. And Mark D'Antonio declined to comment, as he should have. I mean, my goodness. I mean, what do you want the man to say, right? I thought that was the right move. You got to let this whole thing play out. And, you know, Mark D'Antonio is focused on what's happening at Michigan State University. But I know you guys were debating about, you know, Mark D'Antonio's response to this, and should he have said more? No. I mean, again, he's focused on what he has to focus on here at Michigan State. But I do think, you know, the implications this could have in the race now in the Big Ten East are going to be huge. I mean, this is Urban Meyer, one of the best, no matter how you feel about him, he's one of the best college football coaches in the history of the game. You know, not just today, in the history of the game. And what I found quite ironic is I was listening to David Pollack this morning, who is on the ESPN College Game Day broadcast, and former college football player. And David said that everywhere that Urban has gone, whether it be Utah, whether it be, you know, Florida and Ohio State, he's made a point to put in the locker rooms, respect women. That's everywhere. Respect women. Respect women. And I think a lot can be learned from this situation in regards to other college coaches, period, regardless of the sport. And how to handle, how serious it is to make sure you handle domestic violence and sexual assault and sexual abuse, how you must, it is a must to take it serious, no matter how small it may be. I think that's a big conversation that needs to be had and probably is happening in coaching rooms across this nation today. So, Connor, your thoughts on this story?
So, last week when it was me and Alec, one of the first, and then the story broke, one of the first things we said that we were hoping that the investigation would go fine and they would find what they needed to do and they correct the behavior. But one of the things I made a point of saying was I was really nervous that Ohio State would, you know, kind of hide behind the brand and give like a slap on the wrist to Urban Meyer. And, you know, I think...
So you think a paid administration leave is too light?
And I think... Because I think what happened with when you announce that it's only... when you announce that it's that your investigation is only going to take 14 days, that's already a red flag for me. I don't think you can get the utmost investigative. If you put a cap on when you think you're going to be done, it doesn't sit well with me at all.
I agree. And that's the thing. Even if it may take 14 days, but you coming out and saying we're going to know within 14 days, it just isn't good from an optic standpoint. You never put a timetable on something this serious. But Connor, what you're saying is you think placing Urban Meyer on a paid administrative leave is too light of a punishment for right now?
No, not necessarily. I think from both a PR standpoint and from a doing what's right standpoint, putting him on leave was the absolute right thing to do. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that from the get-go, I was nervous about Ohio State, like, maybe not taking this as seriously as they should. Because it's one thing to establish a committee saying, we're going to investigate, we're going to look into this, we're going to do our best, that if something was done wrong, we're going to try to change it. But then when you go back and in the middle of an investigation say, you know what, I think 14 days is all we need. That just doesn't seem like you're gonna do a thorough enough job. Like if I were writing a sports story on like heck, it could be the Michigan State game. If I say this story is gonna take me an hour, it's not gonna be my best work.
Right. Exactly. It seems even if it may take you an hour, and it may be great work. The fact that you came out and said it only took me an hour, there's a perception there that happens subconsciously to the public that says you're not doing your best work here. Alec, anything you want to say here before we close out this convo?
Yeah. So I really do think that if Urban Meyer knew about this, then I definitely believe that his tenure should be done at Ohio State. And because I talked about this last week, there's a certain culture where, like in the NFL and college football, where you see players and coaches doing this kind of behavior and they're getting light punishments for it. And you see it all the time in NFL with what was the kicker for, I think, the Cowboys or the Giants?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you see players like this. It happens all the time. And we as like a society need to come down on this kind of behavior to make the players or coaches at least afraid that they'll lose their job, you know, because like if you don't have that, then what's going to stop them from doing this in the future?
And at the end of the day, it's about those who are, and again, if Zach is found here, we'll see what happens when it comes to the results of this investigation. But if Zach Smith is found to have, you know, done something where he really put his hands on his wife and caused what we, you know, the damage that we saw that we've seen in those pictures, then he needs to have his foot to the fire for sure. But how we handle the punishment of individuals who maybe could have done something to stop a situation like this and mishandled it, how we handle that punishment is going to say a lot about how we view domestic violence here in America. That's the big problem here. And I just to share a quick conversation I had with, a buddy of mine about this, actually this morning, and he's married. And we were having a conversation about, you know, how he was telling me how him and his wife, they were having this conversation about, okay, if you told me that so-and-so who comes off as the nicest guy in the world, never would have suspected he's doing anything as far as any kind of wrongdoing, especially as it pertains to his wife. But if somebody would have told you that, okay, yeah, he's beating his wife, would you believe it? And his wife and him kind of pondered it and said, no, he wouldn't believe it. And that's the kind of mindset that we have to start to change, that we think we know people. We think we know people. But if there is any kind of inkling that that individual is involved with something as serious as domestic abuse and violence, we have to take it serious, regardless of whatever perception you may have of that person. So we'll see what happens here. Again, I want to remind you all, as we're coming up with just 4 minutes left here in the hour, this story has dominated the show. I expected it would do that. I'll be heading out to Spartan Stadium at 2 o'clock immediately after I sign off here. going down to Spartan Stadium, hearing what Coach Mark D'Antonio has to say concerning the upcoming 2018 Michigan State football year. I'm getting ahead of myself, right? The defense and offense will be available. I'll have a 2-minute drill report for you all at facebook.com/WKARnews and at WKAR.org, and a special report that you can listen to on Morning Edition, as well as All Things Considered tomorrow. All right. I'll get to the whole President Donald Trump and LeBron James situation, which, you know, I really don't want to dedicate, you know, like 15 minutes on this topic, because I think at the end of the day, it's pretty self-explanatory. LeBron James doesn't need anyone to have his back on this. I think that 99.9% of America who has been following that story and read what the leader of the free world had to say concerning LeBron James and the criticism that he has toward the president. I mean, you would think that the leader of the free world, you know, you think that he'd have more important things on his agenda than to tweet at LeBron James, who was doing an incredible job, an incredible philanthropic endeavor in building a school for underprivileged youth out in Akron, third and fourth graders, you know, giving them free tuition for college. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, the leader of the free world completely ignores that and decides to attack the character of LeBron James. He insults his intelligence. LeBron doesn't need me to back him up. I think the story is pretty self-explanatory. I'll give final thoughts on that, as well as the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony. And again, according to Pro Football Talk, the Hall of Fame, in wake of Terrell Owens deciding not to show up and hold his own Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Pro Football Hall of Fame considering a mandatory attendance rule. I'll tell you why that is the most idiotic move that you can make in light of T.O. doing what T.O. does. That and so much more on tomorrow's Current Sports. Again, we'll have full coverage from Michigan State Football Media Day on tomorrow's show as well. You don't want to miss it. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I'm Al Martin, reminding you to always be easy, people.